the most important woman in the world. The Gospels were probably written 40 to 100 years after the events they were describing. I'd be hard pushed to give you a detailed account of what I did yesterday, right? Let alone what 40 years ago, I was 27. I've got no idea. Sorry, yes. Well spotted, Emma. which is one of the reasons why the Gospel stories are all slightly different. Police evidence, if witness statements are exactly the same, that is very, very suspicious. Okay, so the fact there's variation in the Gospels, you don't need to really worry about sort of thing. But one of the things they are very clear on is that in all of the stories, whether the disciples, whether it was this group of the women or that group of women, it was that Mary Magdalene was in all of the stories, okay? And there's mention of her by name. So, Mary Magdalene was the most important woman in the world. And I'm going to explain why. Not for very long, but she was for a little while. Because she was the first and only person who, for that very short period of time, knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. She was the only person. She was the most important person in the world because she was the one with the knowledge that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Okay? Now, she was probably a wealthy woman. She was not, right, spoiler alert, a prostitute. That came about because of a pope in about 500. I still use AD. Your age group say, nope. Yeah. Before Common Era, BCE sort of thing. So, yeah. I never knew. It's just like they changed how to spell sulfur on me when I wasn't looking. They changed Anno Domini, BC and AD, when I wasn't looking, sort of thing. So anyway, but it was a pope that put Mary of Bethany and a woman, an unnamed sinful woman, this pope in 500 BC, decided that that was, so she got known as a prostitute. But actually, there is no evidence at all in scripture that she was a prostitute. So you can go for that one. She gave great support to Jesus and his disciples and was with them from very early on in Jesus' ministry after being cleansed of 7 demons. Okay, there's no mention of what the demons were, and 7's one of those numbers in the Bible where it means like a lot and completely. So the idea is that she was healed. But on that Sunday after the crucifixion, she went to the tomb, maybe on her own, maybe with other women. It doesn't really matter, but she went to the tomb to do all the burial rituals. I don't really know what the burial rituals at that time were, but she had gone with her stuff to do them. The only burial ritual I've ever been involved in was... in this country, you do the laying out of bodies when somebody dies, okay? And... I didn't do it, but I was still in the room when my mum was laid out. And it is, in itself, it's actually a really beautiful thing to watch, even when it's like nurses in hospital, because it's about washing the body, it's about dressing them, it's about if they've got false teeth, putting their false teeth back in and things like that. And it's done very reverentially, whatever the word is, you know, a great reverence. And I'm sure the things that Mary had gone to do the tomb were different, but they were still part of the ritual of putting the body to rest and laying it. And I think she went there to do those sorts of things to the body of Jesus. She was expecting a body, okay? That's what she was expecting. When we look at the Easter story, we look at it from our perspective of knowing Jesus' life, yeah? So we can think of his death and his resurrection. We've got a narrative. We've got Palm Sunday, Last Supper, Garden of Gethsemane, trial, crucifixion. resurrection. We know it. We know the story. To us, it's a given because we know the story. But the women and the disciples didn't have knowledge of the resurrection. So when during this time after Jesus was taken down from the cross, they were bereft. They must have felt it was all coming to an end. They must have been confused and frightened because it's all gone wrong. Yeah? It, as far as they were concerned, it has all gone wrong. Jesus has been crucified and buried. But the women and Mary still carried on. They knew what needed to be done, and they were doing it. They didn't hide in their houses. They didn't isolate. They didn't stop loving and serving. They got up, they donned their cloaks, they collected their body stuff, and they headed to the tomb to do their stuff and to say goodbye. They could have said, it's all over, what does it matter now? Why should we bother? But they made it a priority to follow through. Now, you all know the story. There was the angels, and then Mary thought Jesus was a gardener, and then Jesus revealed himself to her. And when Mary heard what the angels said, and when Jesus revealed himself, she was overjoyed, you can imagine. But would she tell? We've got hindsight, we know she rushed off, but at that moment, she might not have done. She was just a woman who can't be believed. She might be accused of being an hysterical female or hallucinating. She may have even doubted what it was that she'd seen and heard, but she didn't keep it to herself. She rushed off to tell what she and the other women had seen and heard. And of course, as soon as she told other people, she was no longer the most important woman in the world because there were other people as well who now knew. But for that moment, she was the church and she was the only person who knew. She had the knowledge. So why a woman? Matthew 26, verse 56, towards the end says, then all the disciples left him, meaning Jesus, and ran away. Scared, they ran away and hid. Mary didn't. She was there at the crucifixion. It actually mentions her. Very different picture to after Pentecost. So before Mary came and told them, they'd all run away, they'd all hidden, they were all scared, they were all in their houses. They felt very isolated, it had all gone wrong, they didn't know what was going on, etc. Okay. But come Pentecost, knowing that Jesus had risen from the dead and being filled with the Holy Spirit, couldn't shut the disciples up. Yeah? They went from being really, really scared to having the knowledge and then being very, very bold. The reason they were scared is because they did not expect Jesus to rise on the third day. Okay? Yes, they had been told, but it wasn't the first time in scriptures and in the New Testament where the disciples did not understand. They frequently did not understand. One of the things it talks about, the fact that Mary found the tomb open and empty, rushed off to say the disciples, they came back and went, oh, the body's gone, and rushed off. Yeah, they were not the bravest because they didn't understand. They did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. But God had a plan. Last week, David was talking about the fact that women's testimony was not valid. Yeah? She couldn't give any evidence about anything. It was not valid. But God knew that the Jewish leaders would lie and say that the disciples had stolen the body. Right? Quite common. And sometimes I think when you're talking to people who don't believe in the resurrection, they say, well, it's obvious, somebody just took the body, sort of thing. If the disciples had got their first and knew that Jesus had died, It would add credence to the stolen body idea. But they didn't need to steal it because they didn't understand the teaching about the resurrection. So they wouldn't see any point in stealing the body just to make the story true. Because the story, we know the story, but they didn't know the story. So we might have done something to make it look as if it was true. They didn't, because they weren't expecting Jesus to rise from the dead, because they didn't understand. So they wouldn't have bothered to steal it because they weren't trying to make the story look true. God's plan was for a woman to get to the news first because it strengthened the truth and reliability of what they saw. Now that seems really odd when I've just said that women's testimony isn't valid. But the reason it strengthened it is because who in their right mind would use a woman to back up the story of the resurrection? Yeah, because you're using somebody whose word isn't valid in society at the time to back up a story, okay, that really she couldn't give evidence for. So it actually makes it more likely that it would be believable. Do you understand that? Can you get that? Yeah, good, because it's not easy to think about it. The whole crux of the Easter story pivoted on the word of a woman whose word was not to be trusted. Not because she wasn't trustworthy, but just because society didn't trust the word of a woman. So, what does that story tell us? Mary's story, I think, teaches us about holding fast to our faith. She'd been with Jesus all the way through. She loved him. She wanted to be with him. She didn't understand about him coming back from the dead, but he chose to reveal himself, and she carried on with that faith. So when we bear witness to the truth, and when we step out in faith and share the good news, then we can become part of that resurrection story, the story of redemption and hope. There was that amazing moment when the church consisted of just one person, but now we are here today with Christians round the world knowing and sharing that saving grace. Mary told about the resurrection. The disciples told about the resurrection. They told people that Jesus had died and risen to the again, and he had died for them. We should tell the good news of the resurrection and saving grace of Jesus Christ, because it makes us part of that resurrection story. We can't keep that news to ourselves. We can't be like the disciples who were scared, running, hiding because they didn't know the truth. We know the truth, and we have to be more like Mary and go, yes, this is what happened, and this is why it happened, and join in with actually the resurrection story of God's saving grace, that he died on the cross for us. But he didn't stay there. He rose again so that we could be part with him and have eternal life. So Mary Magdalene, for just a little while, was the entire church with the only person with the knowledge, but she didn't keep it to herself. She rushed off and told the others. And as they say, the rest is history, because we know the rest of the story. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you for the place that you have given us in your story. We want to thank you that Mary didn't keep it to herself, but shared it with the disciples, who then shared it with other people till it eventually came to us here today. Father, we pray that you give us ways to be part of your story, that we will be bold when we don't feel it, and we will say words when we don't necessarily have the words to say. But Father, we pray that through your Spirit, you will speak through us about your resurrection story to other people, so that just like Isabella with her 12 people up in Nottingham who are interested in knowing about faith, and all the other people where we know there are questions are being asked, and alpha courses and 3-2-1 courses and all those sorts of things. There's people going through them. Father, we pray for the opportunities to share in your good news with other people. Father, make us bold, make us full of your Spirit. But more important than that, Father, we pray that by your Spirit, sometimes we'll open our mouth and what comes out of it isn't from us, but it's from you, and it will touch people's lives. Amen. Thank you. Good. Good. Tea. Well, and coffee, and possibly biscuits and things.